Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampal Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Welcome to Bible Issues, where we teach you to hear God's voice in the Bible. Whatever your situation, you can find God's direction in His Word. We are Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampal Chidi.
Where does faith come from? So I'm reading from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, because that verse reads kind of funny, many of us truncate it and read it like this: "So faith comes by hearing the Word of God." And that is true, but let me explain to you what that scripture means. It means faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So those two words were dropped by the Apostle Paul. You could call it linguistic license. Let me read from verse 14 to illustrate the whole idea that Paul was trying to bring across. He was speaking of Israel, and he said, "How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to read verse 15 to 14 backwards to get the proper flow of how faith is formed. It starts off by the Word of God. Then God has to send somebody to preach the Word. Jesus said, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers because the fields are white." So somebody has to be sent by God. They have to preach the Word of God. Then you have to hear the Word of God and understand it. Then you have to believe the word that you heard. And then finally, when you believe, you will call upon Jesus. That is the process of faith. Salvation is really a five-step process that begins with the Word of God. God has to send somebody. That person has to preach. You have to hear and understand. Then you have to believe. Then you have to act on that belief. That is the five steps of faith. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I made a decision to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have decided to follow Jesus. Salvation is a choice that I made." Well, let me tell you that that is not entirely correct. That is only one step in the process. Yes, at the end of it, when you have faith, you must act on the faith and you must choose Jesus. You must decide to be saved. However, you are ignoring all of the things that happened in the background in order to bring you to that point. Somebody had to preach the gospel to you. Somebody had to pray for you long before that. Somebody had to share the gospel with you. And I'm pretty sure that there are many people who shared the gospel with you before you actually came to Christ. And somewhere along the line, God has to convict you. God has to draw you to Himself. The Bible says no man can come to Christ unless the Father draws him. So unless God draws you to Himself, there is no way you could decide to come to Christ. Salvation is a miracle of Jesus. It's a miracle. The gospel is not simply a message that is preached. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. And the Bible says even repentance, you can't just decide to repent. God grants you repentance. The Bible says it is His goodness that brings you to repentance. So salvation, in order for you to accept Christ, there's a lot that needs to happen in the background. And most of it is God's doing that you have no control over. I am sure most of you who are genuinely saved will agree. Salvation is much more than just a decision that you made. There was something compelling you. There was something on the inside at work that was just drawing you and pulling you. And when you decided to get saved, it was because God so filled you with His love, God so convicted you of your sin, that you just had to give your life to Christ. It was not a simple matter as praying a prayer. So when you're praying for your unsaved loved ones, bear that in mind. Don't just try to get them to come to church. Don't just try to get them to pray a sinner's prayer. Don't just try to get them up to the altar. Salvation is much more than that. Salvation involves God doing a miracle on the inside of them. So instead of praying for them to just come to church, pray that God will convict them of their sin. They may not be the biggest sinners who ever lived, but their sin is enough that they have fallen from grace. Pray that God will make them see the magnitude of their sin, that they will see themselves as the worst criminals who ever lived in the eyes of God, and that they will come to true repentance, true godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Pray that God will convict them. Pray that God will draw them, because they cannot simply decide to get saved. They have to be drawn to Christ. The Holy Spirit has to draw them. And without that, nothing is going to happen. So that is how you should pray for your unsaved loved ones. Salvation is not just a decision. It is a miracle of God in your heart that leads you to a decision. But it all starts when God's word takes root in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is the starting point of faith. Faith ultimately comes by the word of God. Yes, it's a process, but the starting point is God's word. Hebrews 11:1, a very well-known portion of scripture, says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Another translation reads it like this: "Faith is the assurance of things expected, the conviction of things that are not seen." The Bible says, it talks about the things hoped for. In the Bible, in our modern day English, when we talk about a hope, we talk about something that we wish. For example, "I hope it doesn't rain today so I don't get my hair wet." And what we really mean, we're expressing a wish that it will not rain. But in the Bible, a hope was not just a wish. A hope was an expectation based on a definite promise. For example, God said, "I will save you and take you to heaven." So based on that, it is not a wish, "I hope I go to heaven." It is now an expectation that if God promised it, He will do it. Jesus said, "I will come again." So faith doesn't say, "I wish God comes back." Faith says, "I know for sure He will return because He said He will. And what He said He will do, He will do." So faith is a confident expectation in something that God promised. So again, we see the starting point is the promise of God. And once God promised something in His word, faith is assured of it. It is convicted of it. It is the evidence of things not seen. So faith doesn't come from a testimony. Faith comes from the word of God. A testimony simply says what God did for somebody else. But what God did for somebody else is not necessarily what God will do for you. Unless, of course, God promised it in His word. Faith comes from the word of God. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you have a court case, let's say somebody is accused of a crime. There were no witnesses that actually saw him do it, but you have a mountain of evidence against him. You have his DNA on the murder weapon. You have his fingerprints on the crime scene. You have the victim's blood on his clothing or something like that. Nobody saw him do it, but you have an overwhelming stack of evidence against him. So therefore, even though you didn't see him commit the crime, you know he did it. You know for sure that he did it. And that is how faith works. We have never seen God, so, but we've felt him in our hearts. We've seen him work in our lives, and we know God is real. People ask me all the time if God is real. And sometimes in your darkest moments, you may even doubt, you know, God, are you real? We've all prayed that prayer, if we're honest. I'll tell you this. I've seen so much demonic activity. I've seen people possessed by demons. I've seen houses possessed by demons. And not just with my own eyes. I've heard other people's testimonies. I could tell you this. The devil is real. And how could the devil be real if God is not real? There's so much evidence that God is real. Although you haven't seen him, you haven't felt him, you know he is real. Faith is definitely based on a conviction that God will do what he said he will do. The starting point for faith is the word of God. Faith is the assurance of things that God promised. So faith gives you an assurance, even though you haven't received the blessing as yet. You are assured that God is faithful. Have you ever seen Christians, maybe you are one of them, who go through life and you're not sure if you're saved, you're not sure if you're going to heaven? I even heard a Christian say one time, it is so hard for Christians to go to heaven. And everyone looked at her as if she was mad. She said, well, all you have to do is sin once and you will fall. You wouldn't make it into heaven if you sin before you die, or if you die before you sin. And I realized that person is living in real bondage. That person is living in continual fear of losing their salvation. And I don't want to get into a discourse right now on whether you could lose your salvation or not. That is a topic for another time. I could write books on it. But ultimately, God never called us to fear. A Christian is supposed to have the assurance that they are saved. The Bible says, these things are written that you may know for sure you are saved. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. If you are not assured of your salvation, it is either you're not saved or you're really lacking in knowledge. And that lack of knowledge is going to cause you to live in real serious bondage. If you live in continual fear of losing your salvation every minute of every day, let me tell you why. It's because you don't understand the grace of God. It is because you don't understand the love of God that he demonstrated on that cross. Let me ask you this. Do you really think Jesus came and died on that cross, crucified, hanging on that cross for hours in pain and agony with blood flowing from all over, with a crown of thorns on his head, vinegar given to him to drink, people ridiculing him? And not only that was just the surface of it. With the weight of every sin that was ever committed and ever will be committed on him on that day, you really think Jesus died to make it harder for Christians to go to heaven? That is nonsense. If you believe that, you are in serious bondage. If you are living in the fear of losing your salvation, you do not understand the grace of God and the love of God. If you truly understood the love that God demonstrated when Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, you will not live in fear. You will be confident of your salvation, because faith is the assurance that what God promised, he will do.
Join us again for our next program. Find us online at BibleIssues.org. Join us also on our Facebook group. To be able to access the group, go to BibleIssues.org, where you will find the link. If you missed any of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at BibleIssues.org. Look for the audio sermons link. God bless you, and hope you join us next time. Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induro Rampal Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.